In the early chapters of Genesis, we read about Abraham, with whom God establishes an everlasting covenant. He says, "I will establish an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants." Now, nowhere do we read that Abraham was particularly deserving or holy. In fact, on several occasions, he comes perilously close to destroying the covenant through fear, unfaithfulness, and misunderstanding. But God continues to care for Abraham and his family and sees that somehow or other the covenant is maintained and fulfilled. We, the descendants of Abraham, are ourselves chosen and brought into this covenant as heirs. Why? Not on the basis of anything we have done or will do to deserve it, but purely on the basis of God's love and grace. And the covenant brings responsibility for us to live lives that reflect that covenant. So then, what is a covenant? A promise? A commitment? It's that and much, much more. Covenant involves giving of self for others. God gives God's self to Christ, and we in turn are called on to respond by giving ourselves to others. Perhaps the closest human equivalent to a covenant is a marriage. Two people stand before God and God's people and pledge their faithfulness and love to each other. In our covenantal relationships, we will be made one with Christ and one with each other. The gift of the covenant of marriage is that the two partners become one. Not a single person, but rather two people in their quest for unity. Anything that destroys unity is to be rejected. Domination, paternalism, abuse, all divide and destroy unity. There is no hierarchy in marriage, only equal partners with differing gifts and duties. When in the vows that are declared in marriage, the couple says that they promise to live together according to God's holy law, they are committing themselves to live lives and nurture a relationship that strives to reflect and cherish the unity that comes in Christ. And Paul tells us that in order to do this, husband and wives are to be subject to one another and are to reflect or imitate Christ in their lives together. Ultimately, covenant, whether in marriage or our covenant with God, is an invitation to intimacy. The gospel for today expresses this idea beautifully. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Perhaps this promise is the most provocative, exciting, intimidating, and threatening promise of all. To get that close to another, to open yourself, to give yourself to the point where you become part of another, is risky enough where the other is another person. But the prospect is downright terrifying when the other is God. We don't want to give ourselves in this matter. We don't want to take that kind of risk. We have a fear, and that fear is that we will lose ourselves. And yet, at the same time, we desperately long for that kind of intimacy in our lives. We know that it brings the promise of fulfillment and peace. God gives us from time to time a taste of the gift of intimacy. It comes to the bread and the wine of the sacrament. It comes during moments in our relationships. It comes during difficult and painful times. It comes when we least expect it. It comes as light in the midst of darkness and is truly a foretaste of the feast to come. Saint Augustine of Hippo says, "Take then and eat the body of Christ, for by the body of Christ you are already members of Christ. Take also and drink the blood of Christ. Lest there be division among you, eat what binds you together. There you are on the altar. There you are in the chalice. In this sacrament, you are united with us, and we are joined together, we drink together, because we share our lives together." Covenant, unity, intimacy. Amen.